suffering never makes sense. Or at least that's my understanding. Perhaps Dr. Wilton will show us a different way of thinking about it. The Encouraging Word. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known evangelist, author, and pastor. And today in his message, When Your Suffering Makes Sense, we'll begin to understand God's perspective, a biblical perspective that'll help us face each and every day, even in the middle of our suffering. Know that we're available for you. We'd love to pray with you and connect with you with resources anytime on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or we call it old school, but it's still great to talk and pray on our phone line as well. We'd love to connect at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
When your suffering makes sense. Now, folks, I want to talk about suffering and pain and grief and healing. When your suffering makes sense. How do you make sense of suffering? I don't know how many people over the years that I have met and that you have met, that you know, perhaps yourself, that have gone through terrible times of pain and suffering. And quite frankly, you battle to understand that. Why me, Lord? Why has my friend got to go through this? Why the grief? I know some people, many people over the years that have suffered publicly. We know about people like that because it's something that happens that other people are affected by. There are wonderful people in nursing homes today, in retirement centers. There are many thousands perhaps worshiping with us even today. Right now, you're in a hospital bed, and that television is switched on, and you're lying there, and you're in pain, and you love the Lord, and you're hurting. I know people who suffer in a private way. And though that's perhaps the more difficult kind of suffering, isn't it? I often think it's not Christmas time, but I often think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how the Spirit of God came to Mary and said to her, Mary, you're going to be with child, and his name will be Jesus. And then the Bible says that Mary pondered these things in her heart. How do you suppose she pondered those things? Can I suggest to you, she suffered those things. Why? Because she wasn't married. Any questions? Can you just imagine the scandal? Can you imagine what was she going to tell her fiancé, Joseph? They weren't married. What about her parents? She pondered those things. Now, I've met many people who hurt in different ways. I was told yesterday of a dear friend from Florida, a lady who suffers with depression. I've met people who just, you can't explain it. There's just a cloud. Some dear friends have said to me over the years, I can't explain that to you, but I just have this cloud over me all the time. Every now and again, I'll see the daylight and the clouds will clear, you know, but I fight depression. Well, folks, I could go on and on talking about pain and grief and hurt. And if it hasn't happened to you, you know it's happened to your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your best friend, your neighbor. We get affected by it. Here's the bottom line. How do you make sense of pain and suffering? What do you say to that person? What can we do when we go to visit that person in hospital and they're not there, they're going through some tests and all you've got is that little board that they let you write on? Is there a message you could write on? Hey, I love you. Well, we certainly going to write that. But is there something more to this? What can I hold on to in my heart? Where do I go with this? Now, I'm going to be in 1 Peter. And you might want to open your Bibles. In fact, it's very important because we're going to look at 6 principles in just a moment. 6 biblical principles taken right out of 1 Peter. And it's on page 1176 in your pew Bible. If you didn't bring one with you, right there, it's got a red cover. Take it and turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. You're going to need your Bible to see this. because God has something special to say to us. But I believe with all of my heart, before I even read this passage to you this morning, that there are really, in reality, there are three schools of thought about healing, about suffering, about pain. If you were to go and ask the average person in the world today, can you explain what must I do, or what is this, how can I handle my pain, my hurt, my suffering? I've been through a divorce, my wife died, my son, daughter's going through this, I've been diagnosed with this disease, I've got chronic illness, chronic pain, depression, I don't know where to turn, I cannot make sense of this. Why, Lord, what is this? I believe that there are three dominant schools of thought, if you please. Now, there are many offshoots of these, and many of you will come up with a whole lot of others. There are. But I just want to summarize it in three ways. School of thought, number one, all suffering and pain is sin. All suffering and pain is caused by sin. So you're suffering, are you? You sinned. Now, I couldn't be more frank or blunt or to the point today. One school of thought over on the one extreme will tell you and will teach us that all suffering, all pain, all grief is because of sin. And the remedy, the way you fix that, the way you find healing, lies in two areas. Number one, you must repent of that sin. Well, that's logical. If suffering and grief and pain and heartache is caused by sin, you got to repent of that sin. But there's a second thing that accompanies that. You must revive your faith to the point at which your faith is the right kind of faith. And when you have the right kind of faith, God must heal you and deliver you. Now watch this, folks. This first school of thought is all man and no God, per se. I'm going to just run that by again. School number one, all suffering is the result of sin. All suffering, all pain. Doesn't matter what you're going through, sin. You messed up with God. And I know that I may be a little simplistic here, but there is a, I think one can get the idea of God standing there saying, you mess with me? All right, you're going to have cancer. I'm going to cause your loved one to get very sick. I'm going to put a depression on you. Now, folks, this is real. I'm just telling you, there are television programs that are all over the world today that are becoming increasingly popular. And the fundamental basis of what they do is based upon the fact that pain and suffering and heartache is caused by sin. Repent of your sin and do something about your faith. Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem. If you fall into that category, if you are not healed and you continue to suffer and carry that pain, or your loved one dies anyway, you are left holding the guilt of two things. You're left holding the guilt, number one, of unrepented sin. You just didn't repent properly. I'd like someone to help me to understand what proper repentance is now. You just didn't repent properly. And number two, you don't have the right kind of faith. Now, they won't tell you that you do not have faith. They'll tell you you don't have the right kind of faith. It's not the kind of faith that's acceptable to God. So evidently, my healing is going to be dependent on me. So if I'm not healed, I repent of my sin and I ask God to do it, but I'm not healed, obviously I've got the problem. Number one, I'm an unrepentant sinner and God's got my number. And number two, I just don't have the right kind of faith. Now, I don't know how to define that. You're obviously better than me. You're a first-class faith Christian. I'm a second or third-class one. It pushes me out. It puts me into the back of the bus. It says to me that I'm just no good in the presence of God. All right, that's school number one. School number two, school of thought number two. All suffering and pain is part of human consequence. And no matter what the quality of your faith, God will heal you if and when God decides to heal you. Now, this is what I call fish on the wall kind of faith healing. I've told you about it before. This is the kind of school that says to you, stick your big fish on the wall, push a button, and it'll say, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. This is what this tells me. This tells me, yes, I have faith. I am a fish. Get out there and swim, and whatever happens, toughies on you. But in the meantime, just be happy that you're suffering, because God will heal you when and if He decides. What are you getting all riled up about? Have you ever had someone come up to you and say something like this? Just get over it. So you're depressed, are you? Well, you know, it's just the consequences, man. Get over it. You know what you want to do, don't you? You want to give them a little depression to think about too, right? Now, folks, really, this is the second school of thought. Here's the third one. This is where I believe the Bible is. I really believe this. Number three, that God allows suffering, pain, and grief in the life of some of His children. Your faith in God is vital to Him. In fact, it is the necessary ingredient to knowing Him and to walking with Him and to fellowshipping with Him. But He invites you to ask of Him, and God will heal you according to His riches in glory. But God's response and His action is not governed by virtue of your asking or requesting. It is governed by virtue of who He is, because He is divine. But He asks us to ask of Him, and His response to our request is in proportion to the fact that we are doing what He has invited us to do. In other words, there is a partnership that God gives to us between Himself and ourselves. Our part is as vital as the part of God, but God is the great healer. I cannot heal myself.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word. Please don't go away. He'll be back in just a moment with more of this great teaching on when your suffering makes sense. But he insists I interrupt to remind you that we're here for you. We're connecting both online at tewonline.org and this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. We'd love to pray with you or for you. We'd love to connect you with great resources. Matter of fact, right now, the resource that's so excited is called Touching Jesus. And a good friend of Dr. Wilton's has prepared this very special kind of resource of growth and encouragement. It's Joni Erickson Tada. And that's going to be given more details at the end of the broadcast. But right now, just know that we're here for you. 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. Let's dive back into today's teaching.
I have the privilege as your pastor of praying with people. We try to do it according to the scriptures, according to the book of James, anointing, praying with oil. I don't ever go and ask people to let me do that, because that's not biblical. Bible says if someone feels led to do that, they've got to come and ask me. I don't go and ask them. We do it according to the scriptures. But can you imagine, folks, if I am praying for someone and anointing them with oil and I'm asking God to heal, and I pray a prayer something like this: Lord, I thank You for Joe, and Joe is terribly ill and he needs healing, and just make him comfortable, Lord, and I tell You, whatever You want to do, whenever You feel like it, okay, all right, Joe, have a good day, go off now and be happy. Now, folks, watch the difference. Lord, we believe in You. You are the Son of the living God. And You've told us to ask You. You are the great physician. And we come before You today believing in our heart that You will heal this person. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, would You listen to our cry? And we call upon You today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Would You heal this person? Now, what's the difference? It's what God tells me to do. So you've got two extremes here. All man and no God, and you've got all God and no man. I believe the Bible says both of us are involved. I must never forget who I am, and I must never forget who God is. It's a very fine line. Now watch this. I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to try to make sense out of our suffering. Peter puts it like this. He says in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in His great mercy has given us new birth unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, which is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of that salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Now in this, and I'm going to qualify that in a moment, in this you greatly rejoice, though even now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief, pain, and suffering of all kinds. Here in this particular context, they were being persecuted, they were being hammered, they were suffering from every corner of the universe, folks. And Peter looked at them and he said, listen, you can rejoice in these things even though you are suffering grief in all kinds of trials. Let me explain it to you. These things, these trials, this suffering, this pain has come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. For though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now watch this. Watch this. I'm going to give to you six principles that will help you to make sense of your suffering. Now, God's going to apply these things to your life. He's going to give you understanding. He's going to enable you to minister to others. He's going to carry you through the burdens of life. Your suffering will only make sense, number one, when it is preceded by a living hope. Now, I love this, folks. Here Peter puts it like this in verse 3. He says, on the basis of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and His great mercy, He has given us new birth unto a living hope. This is the evangelism component of making sense out of suffering. Here God is about to lay the smackdown. And He's about to tell us something about our human condition. In other words, He's saying to us, listen, people. Hello, you will never understand your suffering, which is difficult to understand, outside of the fact that you have a foundation, which is your living hope in Christ Jesus. Now, I have the privilege from time to time of marrying young couples. And sometime in the sessions in which we meet, usually right up front somewhere, I'll say something like this. Now, I want you to know, maybe God will bless you with children one day. But I want to make a suggestion to you. Yes, you need to buy them a nice motor car, and you need to protect them and give them a refrigerator full of food and take them to flag football and be in the stands for them. And boy, you need to do all of those things. That's the fun part of life. It's absolutely necessary, and we can have the best fun in the world. But I'll guarantee you there's one thing that if you give to your sons and daughters, it is of more value than anything you can possibly give. You know what it is? That mom and dad love each other. Now watch this, folks. You show me a child that goes to school, that doesn't sit on the front row of the cafeteria, that never gets invited to the prom, that goes through all kinds of struggles, that feels left out, that goes through all the rigors of puberty and pain and everything else, and that child can go through every kind of up and down you could possibly imagine. They could be persecuted, belittled, they could be treated badly and bullied by everybody at school. But when they know that mom and dad love them, I'll tell you, you've given them the greatest gift of life that you can possibly give them outside of salvation in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about. You see, folks, this foundational living hope of which the apostle speaks has three components. Number one, it is founded on God's sovereignty according to this matter. It is based upon God's mercy, and it is provided for by God's Son. Now watch this. Here I am and I'm suffering. I'm going through pain. I'm struggling with depression. I cannot understand it. It never seems to go away. But I'll tell you, folks, you give me the sovereign grace and mercy of God combined together with the provision of God's Son, who gives to me through His blood a direct passage into the heart of God and into the throne of God, and I've got everything necessary to get through what I'm having to get through. It makes sense of that which doesn't make sense. It means I've got something to stand on. Folks, you take away the platform. You show me a child out there in our school system who goes to school every day, and they walk out of their home and all there is fighting and four-letter words and fussing and feuding. They go to school and they're subject to all the things that go on in school, and then they come home and they've got nothing to come home to do. You want me to sit down and show you the end product? You and I know what we're talking about. So when you want to make sense of your suffering, it'll never make sense, folks, unless it's preceded by a living hope. Can I put that into basic terminology? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Number two, your suffering will only make sense, number two, when it is rewarded by an eternal inheritance. Verse 4, the Bible says quite clearly, because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that I am delivered into continuing tense, an inheritance. Now, we all know what an inheritance is, don't we? I tell you, some time ago, I got in the mail a little thingamajiggy, and it said that I had to send a whole lot of money down to the department treasurer, Orrin Brady, or whatever his name is, and I've got to write out all this money to get a tiny little sticker. I mean, a little dirty little piece of paper that says 07 on it, and you stick it on your tag so that when you ride around in Spartanburg, we've got all these policemen riding around on your bumper seeing whether you got your sticker in place. I've got all these criminals out here and people speeding and shooting. Here he is on my bumper to see whether I got my sticker. And then stop me there and, you know, hands behind your back and turn in like this. And here I am with my hands stretched out like that being strip searched because I don't have a sticker. Well, the sticker arrived, but it wasn't for my son. I mean, it wasn't for me. It was for my son, Greg. So, I send this off to Greg. Here's your sticker. Put it on your motor car. Greg says to me, Dad, I need to write you out a check. I tell you, folks, all that sugar I've been eating just began to melt me. I've got all this resolve. He needs to pay it. He's 25 years of age. I tell you, I need that money more than anything in the whole world. I mean, I know I'm going to die without it. He's a big boy. He needs to learn how to stand. And I get right up there to the line and I say, it's okay, son. You don't owe me anything. And Greg says, but Dad, I can do that. Why would you do something like that? And I say to him, son, because you're worth it. How do you make sense? Because of your inheritance. You make sense because God looks at you and says, you're worth it. And everything I have is for you.
What a powerful illustration. If you're new to the Encouraging Word, Dr. Wilton and his children, his family, they're all sold out to Jesus in remarkable ways. Greg spent years overseas as a missionary and now is in the Atlanta area working for a wonderful organization called Send Relief. And his daughter is overseas with Samaritan's Purse, his son planting churches in Pittsburgh. All of these illustrations, though, come to this point where you and I have to ask, are we understanding that inheritance we can have with God is committed to whether or not we've become a part of the family? Have you become a part of the family of God? Have you said yes to Jesus? If you have questions, we'd love to talk with you about it. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. We have friends ready to take your call right now. 866-899-9673. Jot the number down and hold it for a second, because more than talking to us right now, maybe you need to talk to the Lord. Let Dr. Don lead you in these next moments.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
Welcome to the family of God. I know some of you said yes. You prayed along with Dr. Don and you've given your life to Jesus. Some of you have rededicated your life. And maybe some of you, like me, have just drawn a line in the sand and know that I'm going to deal with suffering in my own life, but also as an instrument of peace in the lives of others that are dealing with suffering because of this scripture and this message today. Wherever you are in that spectrum, just know that we would love to pray with you and for you, especially if you've given your heart to Christ. Dr. Don has some unique resources he wants you to have. Call and let us know. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, connect with those resources. We'd also be happy to connect online as well at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And one more note, an email. It's easy to remember, Don, D-O-N, those three letters, Don, at tewonline.org. Dr. Don would love to see and hear how God's working in your life. Email him, and he'll share that with us, and we'll continue to pray with you and for you. Oh, and before we get away, Liz wants to remind you about some very special resources that are available online today.
What is God calling you to do with your life? Are you living a life that leads to nothing? Do you have peace? Have you given your life to Jesus? Jesus will change you. It's not too late to be on mission for God. With your gift of support to the Encouraging Word this month, you will receive Dr. Wilton's messages entitled Touching Jesus. Messages include Pray With This In Mind, 7 Critical Needs, The Impossible Prayer, and Touching Jesus. These messages on CD or DVD will be sent to you for a gift of $20 or more in support of the Encouraging Word. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request Dr. Wilton's sermon, Touching Jesus. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but we're staying connected online at tewonline.org and at the end of 866-899-WORD. Take care and God bless. The Encouraging Word.